Chapter 27. Kane woke Herzer well before dawn with the bad news that he was in charge of making breakfast. Herzer tried not to grumble and wandered out into the pre-dawn darkness. He was presented with the materials and then Kane went back to bed. Herzer had learned to use flint and steel to start a fire while woodcutting, and it only took him 10 or 20 tries to get the fire going. The first few that started went back out before he had a solid base, and it took 6 or 7 tries to get the tinder going each time. Finally, he had a good roaring fire, and it was time to start the mush. He lugged a bucket of water from the nearby stream and poured it in the kettle, then set the kettle on the fire while he went to get another bucket. Then he had to try to figure out how much of the cornmeal would make a good mush. He finally settled that question, by which time the water was starting to boil. He added the meal, which stopped the boil, then went to find more wood. By the time he got back, the concoction had boiled over and put the fire out. There were a few coals left, and he carefully nursed them to start a new fire, then went and got more wood and started all over again. He finally had a steady fire going and the mush bubbling by the time Kane reappeared. "What did you put in it besides meal?" Kane asked, taking a spoonful. "That's going to take a long time to cook down." "I had some trouble," Herzer admitted, as if the wet ashes from the first fire weren't proof enough. "I'll get some additions," Kane muttered, then wandered back to the building he and Alyssa shared. When Kane came back, he took over the fire and set Herzer to feeding the horses. It was a huge herd, and like all horse herds, extremely hierarchical. Kane had somewhere obtained a large quantity of hay, and Herzer attempted to distribute it by spreading it around, one forkful at a time, but that didn't work very well. The senior horses, a group of mares, had finished their share by the time he'd made his 10th trip, and were driving the low-rank horses, including his own Diablo, off the piles. He was also getting worried about the health of the horses, since the kicking and squealing was not only getting loud, but vicious. "Won't work like that," Alyssa said, walking over to him as he came back with another load. She was yawning, and the squealing of the horses had clearly woken her, but since he was sweating freely in the early morning cool, he wasn't exactly heartbroken. "With so many of them, and all in a group, all you can do is pile it up in one place," she said. "It helps to move it to where they can get at it from every side." She went into the corral with a halter and returned with one of the haneras that she hooked up to a small cart. Between the two of them, they loaded the cart with hay. Then Alyssa drove it into the corral while Herder fended off the horses that tried to bolt through the gate. Once inside, Herzer stood in the back of the cart and forked the hay to the horses as Alyssa drove it through the paddock at a slow pace. Along the way, she kept a running commentary about the horses that showed that not only did she know them all by name, but their individual quirks and their place in the hierarchy. By the time they got back, the rest of the riders were up and the mush was done. It was the recipient of some comments. "Damn, Kane," one of the riders muttered, taking a bite of the mush. "You're not only ugly, you're a damn bad cook. Why'd Alyssa ever marry you?" "Well, I am a bad cook," Kane admitted with a grin. "But this particular mess is all Herzer's fault, and the reason Alyssa married me had nothing to do with my kitchen skills." "Wow, Herzer," Alyssa added. "If the way to a woman's heart is through her stomach, you're in big trouble." Herzer took a bite of the mush and grimaced at the burned taste. "I guess," was all he said. Hoping that the morning's fiascos were past him, Herzer finished his food quickly and went looking for his horse. Diablo seemed less than thrilled to see him, and Herzer wondered if playing polo the day before had been a good idea. But he had held back a handful of the cornmeal, and it was appreciated. So it was a horse in a much better mood that he had let out of the paddock. He saddled up himself this morning, remembering to get the horse to suck in its gut when he tightened the girth. Horses had a tendency to inhale and blow themselves up when the girth was being tightened. That way, as soon as the rider was done, they could let the air out and get some looseness in the girth. Diablo was just about as bad as a normal horse on that score, but it sort of made sense. Wearing a girth was a bit like a corset for a horse. On the other hand, if the girth wasn't as tight as possible, the saddle would slip off and the rider would find himself lying face down in the dirt. Herzer got all the straps in place and mounted creakily. All his riding muscles had stiffened up, and it was positively painful to swing his leg over the horse's back. But once he was up there, he started to loosen up, and as he moved Diablo around, so did the horse. He took him through a few of his paces to get the kinks out, then rode back to the camp at an easy canter. "Raring to go, huh?" Kane asked. He had emerged from the tack shed with some new gear and a long spear. "Just warming up," Herzer said. "When are the beaters supposed to get here?" "They started this morning, but they have a few miles to beat, and they're moving slow. So, say, 5 hours from dawn. But there's going to be stuff running ahead of them, so we need to be in place in another hour or so. But Alyssa and I want to show you a few things and get with everybody to talk about responsibilities." Herzer dismounted to wait and work on his horse. He pulled the saddle and bridle off, switching the latter for a halter, and gave the horse a thorough currying. The horses were losing their winter undercoat, so Diablo especially appreciated that. Then he hunted up a feed bag and some feed. He knew he was going to be using the horse hard today, and he didn't want it falling out from low blood sugar. By the time he was done, Kane had saddled his own horse and hooked the odd accoutrements to it. The tack turned out to be a holder for the spear, along with places to hook other weaponry. Kane also brought out a long battle axe and sword to go along with the spear. Herzer mentally changed the word spear to lance, but he really couldn't see the difference. In the meantime, Alyssa had scared up one of the little Arabs and saddled it as well. Her saddle was much more ornate than Kane's, but seemed just as functional. On the side of it, she hung an odd rectangular case. Just after Herzer recognized it, correctly, as a case for a recurve bow, she opened it up and removed the bow, which was unstrung. Stringing it turned out to be a major operation, and actually took Kane doing most of the work. First, she took out a long string, more of a rope, really, with two leather toggle and loop devices on either end, and attached them to the opposite ends of the bow. Then, as Kane lifted the bow in a curl, sweat almost immediately breaking out on his face, she carefully attached the actual string to the bow and ensured that the limbs were straight. That done, Kane slowly let off pressure until the bow was fully strung. Herzer had to wonder, as he removed the stringer, how often she could actually draw the thing, which looked as if it must have a pull of 60 kilos or so. A few of the older riders had been setting up targets, and a few even brought out their own lances and holders, but Alyssa was the only one with a bow. "Okay, cavalry means fighting from horseback," Kane said, "but most cavalry techniques derive from hunting on horseback and only got converted to killing people later." "Well, the lance was probably the other way around," Denver Quilliam pointed out. The rider was one of Kane's coterie, and while his horsework was only so-so, he handled the lance with ease. "Maybe, maybe not," Kane argued. "There's no clear archaeological record for it, and admittedly it seemed to appear after the development of horse cavalry. But..." "Kane," Alyssa said. "Oh yeah, well, we're going to show you a little about the lance and the horse bow this morning while we're waiting for the first animal to arrive." "Are we going to be using lances and bows?" Herzer asked. "If anyone feels like they can handle them without falling off their horse, they can try," Kane said with a laugh. He started by demonstrating the two ways to hold the lance in a charge. The idea was to hold it lightly in the hand so that you could maintain targeting even on the horse, which was, of course, moving in three dimensions. Then, at the last moment, clamp down and drive it into the target. Smaller lances could be used overhand with a throwing motion for similar effects. He drove one of each into the center of the target and then challenged others to copy his actions. Herzer and Denver probably got closest, and Herzer had done his turn at a gallop like Kane. Denver had driven his home at a much more sedate canter. Herzer had gotten very comfortable with riding Diablo. The massive chestnut was not unlike those in his enhanced reality training, and was even a tad smarter, but he still hadn't opened the horse all the way up. He had seen that blazing gallop the first day, and he was still a tad bit uncomfortable with seeing what it was like to be on his back under those conditions. A slower gallop was still like having a rocket between his legs. After Kane was done and the lances recovered, Alyssa gave a demonstration with the horse bow. She first demonstrated firing from a still horse at about 75 yards, putting 3 arrows into the center of the target just about as fast as she could draw and fire. After that, she began to canter, putting an arrow into the central area of the target about every 5 or 6 seconds. Then last, she demonstrated the Parthian shot. turning on her horse as it was galloping away and firing. These last were, more or less, in the target area, but Herzer could see how it would be a nasty situation to deal with on a tactical level. After the demonstrations, Kane told them off to their duties. Herzer was going to be one of the zone riders, in charge of managing a certain section of the main corral. He was supposed to move herd animals out of his sector and to the herding riders, break up dangerous activities, drag off any animals that were killed in his sector, and otherwise handle any contingencies. Besides Diablo, he would have two more animals to switch off to, an even larger bay gelding called Butch, and a bad-tempered palomino named Duchess. He'd have to lead them over himself, but as long as Duchess was at the rear of the lead, he wasn't worried. Before they headed out to the slaughtering corral, Herzer trotted over to Alyssa, who was in last-minute consultation with Kane, and waited until she nodded in his direction. "Ma'am, is there any way I could try out that bow for a moment?" he asked diffidently. "You've shot before?" she asked. "Not from horseback, and I know I can't shoot while riding, but I think I can hit the broadside of a barn from Diablo when he's still." She looked at Kane and traded a look, then nodded and pulled out the bow. However, she then looked at his bulging forearms. Both of her own were guarded by bracers, but his were bare and the left would be turned into hamburger if he didn't have some protection. She paused and traded a look of consternation with the younger man. There was no way that her relatively dainty bracers would ever fit over his arms. "Hang on a second," Kane said with a laugh and rode over to his hut. He went inside and emerged a moment later with a pair of metal bracers and another bow case. "Really should be leather for bow work," he said, "but see if these fit." Herzer tried them on and found that they fit fairly well. There was an internal leather strap arrangement that was somewhat adjustable, and the bracers were, if anything, a tad large. "Keep 'em," Kane said, remounting. "I won 'em off someone a while back and have just been carting them around. I don't use that kind of armor." Herzer accepted the bow and a quiver of arrows with a nod and then trotted out to the range. He carefully checked to make sure no one was going to be riding across the way and then stopped Diablo with a gulp. He realized that if he missed, he was going to look like an idiot, but he had to try it anyway. He took a moment to check the inside of his bracer to ensure that there were no protruding bits of metal or sharp edges that would strike the bowstring, then drew out an arrow. He kneed Diablo to a stop, gave him a quiet word, then took a breath and knocked the arrow. The draw on the bow was, as he suspected, at least 60 kilos, but he'd fired worse, and the recent exercise he'd had helped in the strength department. He drew it properly, pushing the bow away himself while standing with the string, then took aim. He'd forgotten how much a string could cut into your fingers, and then recalled Alyssa was wearing bowman's gloves, very light gloves of thin leather. Nonetheless, despite the pain, he took a good aim and fired with a prayer to any watching gods. Diablo, bless him, didn't flinch in the slightest. The arrow drew straight and true and dead into the center of the target, sinking to the fletching. He fired two more just to ensure that that wasn't a fluke, and both were nearly as accurate. Then, despite the pain of his fingers and the fact that they appeared to have started bleeding again, he tried it at a walk, a trot, and a canter. At a walk, he could get the arrows into more or less the center of the target at 50 yards, but he had to aim carefully, and it was not a fast process. At a trot, he was afraid that he'd lost a couple of Alyssa's arrows deep in the woods. At a canter, he was a bit better. It was a smoother ride than a trot anyway, but the arrows still were only near the target. One hit in the center, more or less, by a fluke, but the other two missed low. "Where'd you learn to use a bow?" Alyssa asked as he rode back up after retrieving the arrows. "The same place I learned to ride a horse," Herzer said with a rueful grin. "Stupid me. I kept all my stuff offline rather than at my house or something, or I'd be fully decked out. Lou, I had a beautiful bow," he added sadly. "Did you do horse archery?" Kane asked. "And what kind of bow?" "No, I didn't really fight from horseback at all. I dismount," Herzer replied, "and it was a long recurve, 100 kilo draw." 100? Alyssa said, her jaw dropping. "Well, I couldn't shoot it a lot," Herzer admitted, "but when I hit a fisking orc, it stayed dropped. You weren't a reactor, though, Kane said with a frown. No, I wasn't, Herzer replied. I had some physical problems up until recently. I was training to start being a reactor. Then the fall hit, and here we are. Well, if you'll help me string this thing, you can carry Alyssa spare. I think I can do that, Herzer said. And you'd better get me one of those pig stickers, too. You said you hadn't trained on horseback, Kane said with a frown. I haven't, but I'm thinking of the origin of the name, Herzer replied with a grin. The capture corral had been established where the Little Shannon met the Big Shannon, just to the side of the main bridge for the Via Appelia. In fact, the funnel fences, split logs mostly tied to trees, extended over the road. Their own corrals were just to the south, so it was a short ride up to where everyone had gathered. Buildings had been erected along the main road, and there were now steel kettles being filled with water and A-frames being erected in front of them. For the slaughtering, Kane said. Get the water boiling hot. Dip a pig in the water to loosen up the bristles. Other animals, too. And the frames are for slaughtering. Are they going to slaughter all the pigs? Herzer asked. They're important animals for a farmer. Wild pigs aren't anything for a new farmer to be handling, Kane pointed out. We're not to kill any of the young ones. And the people along the fences are going to try to capture any that get through. But we're going to slaughter all the big ones and smoke them. We don't have enough salt to smoke them properly, but if you give them enough of the smoking, they'll last a while. Unless there's a huge number of animals, we're going to go through the food pretty quickly. There's two types of deer that are going to be coming out, whitetails and wapiti. The whitetails will go right over the fences. Kill any of them you can, but the wapiti can't cross them, so we're going to collect them. There were four smaller corrals off the main corral, planted so that herd animals could be driven in. Herzer, having seen how easy it was to drive animals the previous day, thought them optimistic. He tied off his two spare horses to the corral and took up his position, on the outside corner, and waited for the first animals to come in. There were people starting to line the fences, many of them with spears made from saplings. He saw Shylin in his sector and waved at her, then spotted Rachel walking along the line, a bag slung over her back. That brought him back to the fact that many of the animals that were going to be coming in were not going to be exactly friendly. He thought about riding over and talking, but stayed in his place instead, trying to figure out what his good lines of fire were. If he missed a shot, the arrow would just keep going, and eventually the entire line of fences were supposed to be manned. That was going to make shooting problematic. That being the case, he left the bow and the spear where they were. Kane rode over with a coil of rope in his hands. Can you tie a knot? He asked. A few, Herzer admitted. There's a slip knot in the end, Kane said, handing over the rope. If something gets killed, drag it off to the side. Somebody will take care of it from there. Herzer took the rope and found a place to tie it on the saddle. He wasn't sure about dragging something with Diablo, much less with Butch or Duchess. Butch and Duchess tended to wander away when he dismounted, among other things. He didn't have much time to worry about it, though, because shortly afterwards, to a general cry, a deer jumped over one of the fences and into the open area. It was well outside his sector, so he didn't bother to try to uncase his bow and get a shot, and it quickly bounded across the open area. But when it saw the line of people along the fence, it turned towards him. He kneed Diablo towards it to get it turned, then saw it was ignoring the horses. He was just starting to get the bow out, not easy on a trotting horse, when an arrow from the side took it down. It still continued to run, but then dropped as the message got through to its brain that it was dead. He trotted over to it, dropping the bow back in the case, and dismounted, untying his rope. He got the slip knot around the rear legs, then walked back to Diablo, who unaccustomedly shied away. He doesn't like the smell of blood, Kane called. Talk to him. Shah, horse, Herzer crooned, letting out the rope. Good horse. Stay. Whoa. He finally got on its back, with the rope nearly at full extension, and kneed him toward the nearest fence. The weight of the deer nearly dragged him from the saddle, but he wrapped it into the leather it had been tied on and started dragging. Unfortunately, before he had gotten more than 30 meters, the second animal appeared. A half-mature tiger. At the sight of the great cat, which was no more than 50 meters away, Diablo went nuts, rearing and trying to run away from the cat and the deer it was dragging simultaneously. Herzer somehow stayed in the saddle, his hand painfully caught in the leather and rope. He pointed the horse away from the tiger, which was just fine by it, and towards the fence. But the tiger, seeing something fleeing, started after the horse, then turned and leapt on the deer instead. The combined weight of the deer and the tiger stopped the horse in its tracks, nearly throwing it on its side. This time Herzer managed to get his hand free in time, but the rope burned through his hand painfully. He kicked Diablo into movement again and then turned to look at what was going on behind him. The tiger had stopped on the carcass of the deer, looking around at the people and horse with a baleful glare. After a moment it crouched on top of the deer and let out a roar. Despite his mount's rearing and shying, Herzer managed to get it stopped and turned. Whispering to it, he uncased the bow and pulled out an arrow. It was a clap shot if he could just get the horse to hold still for a moment. He wasn't about to dismount under the circumstances. He lined up the tiger and let fly just as Alyssa fired from the other vector. His arrow flew into the tiger's chest just under the neck, but one arrow, even driven from a compound bow, wasn't going to stop the beast, and it turned around, snarling, wondering what had hit it. He fired again, before Alyssa and the second arrow drove into the tiger's ribcage. It took three arrows from him, and more from Alyssa, before the cat finally stopped spinning and hissing. Herzer stayed where he was, though, and waited until a pair of hunters came out from the fences and prodded at the beast with their spears. "Good shooting," Alyssa said, cantering by. "Thanks," he responded, taking a moment to catch his breath and soothe his upset horse. All things considered, he decided that it was best to keep his bow out. While the excitement had been at his end of the corral, more animals had been filing into the area delineated by the fences. He saw some cattle and some absolutely gigantic deer that had to be the wapiti that Kane had talked about. They were nearly the size of the female cows and had antlers in velvet forming on their heads. "Bull herd," Kane said. "Kill 'em or drive 'em to the corrals." They were so magnificent he didn't want to have to kill them, but when the first one entered his sector and he tried to drive it towards the pens, it took extreme exception to the idea and reared on its hind legs, waving sharp hooves at the horse. Backing Diablo, who clearly wanted to show who was boss, he somehow drove three arrows into the deer's chest almost as fast as he could draw and fire, and the magnificent bull dropped to its knees, then rolled over on the side. He wasn't about to try to drag that monster, so he waved to some of the men along the fence and went out looking for something that would actually drive. The massive corral was starting to get crowded with animals by this time, all of them angry, bewildered, and driven half mad by the smell of blood that was starting to permeate the area. But it didn't get really bad until the herd of pigs disgorged into the area. The pigs had apparently stayed in their herd, and Herzer had no idea that that many pigs were even in the forest, much less would stay together in a massive wave of tusks and smell. There must have been at least 50 of the larger ones and innumerable babies. Following them was a puma and then another tiger. At the sight of the tidal wave of dangerous and deadly creatures, most of the riders gave up any pretext of trying to herd cattle and wapiti, and instead looked to their own defense. Many of them headed for the gates along the sides, abandoning the field altogether. Herzer was well to the side of the mass, and he started firing arrows for all he was worth. With a couple of exceptions, he wasn't sure where they went except downward. He was being careful of the people on the far side of the fence. He saw more arrows coming from the few hunters with longbows along the sides of the fence, but it wasn't stopping the pigs. The tiger had disappeared. He hoped nobody had been hurt when that happened. But the puma was chasing Kane for all it was worth. Herzer took two shots at the running puma and saw one hit, turning it. Then either Alyssa or one of the hunters got a killing shot in on it, and it ran a few feet and dropped. But by that time the pig herd had scattered, and there were at least a half a dozen big, nasty, angry pigs in his area. He shot two and then saw one making a beeline for the fence and Shylin. He dropped the bow in the case, pulled out his spear, and decided to see if he could actually stay on Diablo's back at a full gallop. With a yell, he dug his heels into the horse and pointed it at the charging pig. It felt for a moment as if the world went sideways. The horse bunched its muscles and took off like lightning, so fast that he seemed to hear his own shouting Doppler behind him. He realized he was screaming madly and trying to line up the pig with his spear, but it was going to reach the fence first. The 600 kilos of enraged boar hit the rickety wood fence at nearly 30 kilometers per hour, and the fence didn't have a chance. The nearest post snapped off even as the pole shivered to pieces. On the other hand, the encounter had seriously shaken the boar, and it stopped for a moment to shake the blood out of its eyes. But when it had regained its senses, the first thing it saw was Shailen, thrown backwards and onto the ground from the backlash of the fence. Herzer shouted louder, hoping that the sound would turn the boar, but there was no chance. It lowered its head and charged the stunned girl. He never even realized that the lance was lined up when it slammed into the side of the boar, nearly unseating him from the impact. Diablo was charging headlong, and when the boar, caught by the spear, driven through it and into the ground, stopped dead. There was nowhere to go but over. Herzer somehow retained his hold on the spear, but let it run through his hand as the horse went up and over. The combined fulcrum effect threw the mortally wounded boar over on its side and definitely prevented it from getting to the girl, but the branch at the top of the jump could have cared less. With complete indignity, it impacted on Herzer's forehead and flicked him back off the horse in a welter of his own blood.